I would like for, if you do not have a stone, I'd like for you to have one as I'm sharing the message. And so if you do not have a stone, I'm not sure who the ushers are, but if the ushers could just make so each one has a stone, if you could bring them forward, and you raise your hand if you don't have a stone. It's nothing critical about what stone you have. Afterwards, I'm going to give you opportunity if you want to trade your stone in for another one. Okay? But I want each one to have a stone as we share the message. Can this light here be turned off just separately? Take the time to straighten it out. It can be a little crooked. It'll be just fine. Does everyone have a stone? Okay. I as well have a stone. And we want to talk about lively stones today. Turn, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Peter, the second chapter. First Peter, the second chapter, and we're going to be reading verses 4 through verse 9. Verse 4 through verse 9. Follow as we read. Now this is Peter speaking to. Who is Peter speaking to? In the introduction to this book, Peter was sharing to, he says, all the strangers, and he names off a whole bunch of different places. And he includes us right here today in Ireland. It's good to be in Ireland. We have been looking forward to being here for quite some time. As Dan mentioned, Jennifer comes from our church. I remember when Jennifer was the size of her daughter. Many years ago, and we appreciate Jennifer and the contribution she made there and the contribution she's making here. Let's read 1 Peter 2, starting at, let's start at verse 1 and we'll read to verse 9. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. And verse 5 is our text verse. And the title of the message is Lively Stones. Verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. I want to tell you that my desire is to encourage you, to challenge you today. Today we're here to worship. Now, We talked about the Holy Spirit this morning. And I have the Holy Spirit because I've been redeemed. I've accepted Christ as my Savior. And to the best of my ability, my knowledge, I'm following Christ in the direction of the Holy Spirit. Now, my desire is to share only what the Holy Spirit wants me to share. But don't ever let anyone tell you or lead you in a way, whether it's a speaker or a book. What I say today, I want to be careful how I say this, but what I say today is not the inspiration from God in any manner like this is. Okay? Now, that's in a sense. But don't ever take what a speaker says, what a book says, against this book. Okay? Always qualify it with the inspired Word of God. Always. In the Scripture, it talks about the church search the Scriptures to see if these things were so. And so I encourage you to do that today. My desire is to only share what lines up with this. But don't take what I say as saying, oh, that must be the way it is. Make sure it lines up with this. And I appreciate the privilege of sharing here today. Now, we want to talk about stones today. That's the goal, living stones. And we want to talk about what is a stone. Now, the study of stones is called, if I can say the word right, petrology. I think that's how you say it. And I'm not a petrologist, don't profess to be, and I'm not planning to be. I don't know if we have any here today or not, but we want to talk about stones. And I want to hear from you. What is a stone? What is a stone? This is a stone, okay. This is a stone. And it seems a little bit foolish to ask Irish people, what is a stone? Because in America, a couple of things, and I can say this, a couple of things we understand is that an Irish person has a temper. And I said yesterday, can have a temper. I said yesterday, I have Irish blood, and be careful what you say because you might get upset. But they talk about Irish people. And one thing that's common with Irish is the stone fences, okay? The stones, lots of stones in this country. So to ask you what is a stone, that seems kind of redundant, kind of foolish. But I want to ask you the question, what is a stone? We want to think about this. How do we think about what is a stone? Well, think about a four-year-old child that has lived on a boat and has never come in contact with the shore, okay? Just use your imagination here, but this four-year-old child has never come in contact with the shore, and so his father says something about a stone, and the son says, what is a stone? The Scripture says we are lively stones. So what is a stone? What is a stone, any of you? It's your turn. Okay, granules that are stuck together. Son still wants to know, what is a stone? Yes.
Hard lump of something.
Okay.
Stronger than ice.
Okay. Good. What is a stone? You're getting the. What characteristics does a stone have?
Hard.
Very hard. And stones are rather unique. How would you explain harder than ice? That's good. But how would you explain to someone who doesn't know what a stone is? We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but just think about it. I want your minds to be stimulated about lively stones. We have something in common with a stone. Did you know that? A stone has no power of its own. Does it? We don't want these children to start throwing the stones that they were given. I want the children, everyone, to have a stone today. But the stone has no power of its own. It's always directed. It can't be created. It can't reproduce itself. A stone was developed and has been created by a power that's greater than itself. And that's how we were. We were created by eternal God. And that's kind of how a stone is. What are stones used for? Well, stones are used for lots of things. I noticed this morning when I looked outside, there's somewhere here, there's some evidence of Wayne working on the wall to mound it up for that side to match this side. And that's one thing stones are used for. We're standing on cement, I suppose, and stones were used for that. Stones are used for lots and lots of things. What are stones used for? Now I want to ask you a question. What have stones been used for? And this is kind of where we're going with this. And I want to use what they used them before and use it for us today. What do you think about what stones have been used for in the past? David and Goliath, good. What else? Well, think about in the Old Testament what were stones used for. Building altars, yes. Walls like Jericho, okay. To ride on, yes. That's what the Ten Commandments were given on. Buildings made out of stone. And there was actually a second edition of the Ten Commandments because it was a second writing because Moses broke the first one. But those were wrote on stones. Altars. Look, turn in, if you will, in your Bibles to Joshua 24. I want to read a few scriptures there. Joshua 24. And we're going to start reading at verse 14. And in trying to choose a text verse, I thought maybe this one should have been the text verse, the one in verse 27. But let's start reading in verse 14. Very, very well-known verse that we're getting ready to read here in verse 15. This is Joshua's final address to his people. It's his final plea to them and encouragement. And so we'll read verse 14 of Joshua 24. Now therefore, fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood, and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve. Today we also have to choose whom we will serve. We are not given the option of not making a choice. We make a choice every day. Who will you serve? Joshua is encouraging his people to choose today who you will serve. Whether the gods which your father served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. Joshua makes this famous proclamation. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people in answer... People answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drave out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwell in the land. Therefore, well, we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, you cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. Verse 20, if ye forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you this day, ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statue and an ordinance in Shechem. And Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God, and took a great stone, and set it up there under an oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said unto all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. For it hath heard all the words of the Lord which he spake unto us. It shall therefore It shall be therefore a witness unto you, lest ye deny your God. Stones in the past were used, we already talked about, for markers and for remembrance. And I just read this verse, Joshua 24:27. Behold, this stone shall be a witness unto us. Today, the goal of you having this stone is for this stone to be a witness to you. This stone to be a witness to you. And I want to encourage you, I'm not saying you have to, I'm not giving you a... I'm encouraging you, and I ask you to, if you wouldn't mind, to take this stone and carry it with you for as long as you choose. If it's for the rest of your days, that's wonderful. Carry it with you. Now, because of that, I'm offering you, you can trade in your stone back there and get you one that is maybe not quite this big. But carry it with you as a witness. I had the privilege of sharing this message earlier. And so our people, a couple of days later, they said, "Do you have your stone?" Well, fortunately, I had my stone. I pulled it out of my pocket. And I had to share with them that it helped me. It was a reminder to me, as a witness to me, a couple of days before that, because I was on a job. I do plumbing for a living. And I was on a job that was just terrible. And things didn't go right. Things were in such a way that if it went that way every day, I would not do plumbing for very long. So I was developing an attitude, and it was not going well. Well, I happened to feel the stone in my pocket, and I decided, you know what? The Lord is not pleased with me having this type of attitude, and it changed my attitude. So I'm encouraging you to take your stone and let it be a witness to you. Recent happenings, and this was kind of the inspiration of this message, things that have happened in the recent past. Several of our people have experienced difficult times. Several have experienced major changes. It's well known. Some things are well known, some are not. Some of you have experienced things in your life that are really not pleasant. Some of you may be going through a struggle that no one else knows about. Some of you are going through things that a lot of people know about. And as I was preparing for this message, I thought of our brother Ken and his family and what they've been going through. And then so Ken is asked to be to give account of what has happened a long time ago. One day we all are going to give account of everything we've done. The scripture in Hebrews 4:12 says that the Holy Spirit is a discerner of thoughts and intents of the heart, insinuating that we're going to be one day given account even of the thoughts and intents of our heart. But all of us have different things we go through, and we all do things. We respond at times in ways that we regret that we did, and we wish we could change it. Now today, each of you have a stone. We've already taken care of that. And I'm going to say that this stone shall be or is a witness for you and for me. I've had my stone for a couple of weeks now. But if you would have had your stone for the past week, or even maybe for the past year, what would your stone be a witness to? What would it be? It would have been a constant companion, just like I'm encouraging you to do, with you all the time. Everywhere you go, the stone is with you. This stone now has no feelings or capability of making assumptions. See, sometimes when something happens, and depending if I want to, if I've done something that I regret doing or whatever, then I can go over here and I can find a sympathizer in this way, and I can go over here and I don't want to go over here because this is not a sympathizer. We tend to we have feelings and we have whatever, but this stone only is capable of being a witness to the truth. That's all it does. It's only a witness to the truth. It doesn't have feelings. It doesn't have, can't be swayed one way or the other. This stone is only a witness to the truth. And so that being the case, what would it witness? What would the stone say for you, whether it was with you the past week or whether it was with you the past year? What would the stone witness? What would it say? The way we are made up, we tend to make excuses for things. It's our human nature. And even though we are Christians, even though we're serving God, and even though we're sold out to God, we still have to battle and have to deal with the flesh. So we tend to make excuses. That's our first instinct, our first reaction when something comes to us. I tend to make excuses for my words and for my actions. So I say something, maybe I say it in the wrong way, or I say it, or my actions are not right, or whatever. We tend to make excuses for that. We tend to make excuses for our feelings. Someone says, why are you upset, or why are you feeling that way, or why are you having a bad attitude? Well, I have a right to have this attitude, or I have a right to have this feeling. The most sad thing that we do, though, is when we make excuse for our sin. We make excuse for our sin. And I want to remind us that that's a very dangerous thing to do, to make excuse for our sin. And here's why. When we're on a journey and we're learning, we're learning every day, the Holy Spirit that we studied about in Sunday school is our guide, and the Holy Spirit's work in our life is to purify our lives, to purge us, and to draw us closer and closer to Christ and to God, and to be so in tune with God that we can be used more and more, and we're a better vessel for Him. We're a better witness, a pure witness, whatever. But we're on a journey and we're learning. And I want you to picture this stone as being a revealer, or think about it, as being a revealer of God's will, just a witness of God's will. The Holy Spirit always lines up with Scripture, always. If someone tells you, or if you tell someone that the Holy Spirit in our Sunday school class talked about this a little bit, the Holy Spirit told me to do something, or the Holy Spirit is asking me to do something, and it does not line up with this, it absolutely was not the Holy Spirit. It may have been your own desires, your own wishes, what you wanted to do, what you wanted to do for a long time. It may have been a spirit that's a bad spirit, the evil spirit coming from Satan. But never, ever will the Holy Spirit go against Scripture. And the Scripture is, there is no more inspiration than this. For someone to tell you that they, and that's why you have cults, that's why this cult or that cult is, because they say that their leader got more inspiration than this is. In other words, he's gotten divine revelation from God, and God has told him more than he said in the Scripture, and that's always a lie. The Scripture is complete. Now, our conscience was given to us to guide us and to expose sin. That's why we have a conscience. That's part of what God had in mind for us, is for it to expose sin, to remind us of sin. That's why when we do something wrong, it bothers us. And the conscience and the Holy Spirit, how are they tied together? I'm not sure. Are they one and the same? I don't know. But we talk about a conscience and we talk about the Holy Spirit. And the encouragement today is never, ever, ever allow your conscience to excuse sin. Now, like I said already about our human nature, we tend to want to do that. We sin and we want to excuse it. But here's the problem. Doing that sears the conscience. Sears the conscience. And to sear the conscience makes so it's not as sensitive anymore. And if we sear our conscience and if we excuse sin, we're opening our lives for deceit. will believe a lie, will believe something that's not true. We are, the next part of this verse, 1 Peter 2:5, says we are a spiritual house. We're a spiritual house. What does your house, what does my house look like? I filled out a couple of things on a PowerPoint this morning as I was thinking about what does my house look like. And if these apply to you, you take them to yourself. What does your house look like? What do you think of when you think of a spiritual house? A lot of times we think of if I'd ask one of you before we were talking like we are about a spiritual house, oftentimes if you're like me, we think of this place right here, the church. And so we think of a sheltered place, we think of a place where we come to corporately worship, we think of a place that is safe, that is sound, because that's part of what we do. We encourage each other, we challenge each other, and we also, if one of us is going in a different direction, then we say, hey, you know, and we keep each other accountable. And so we think of a spiritual house as being sound. And a spiritual house is sound. But the scripture here in 1 Peter 2, verse 5 says we are lively stones, and then it says a spiritual house, and it goes on to tell what that is for. But so if we are a spiritual house, and we're supposed to be a spiritual house, what does our house look like? Is it a shelter from the storm? Are there storms out there? Are there storms around us? What are those storms like? And I've already talked about some of the storms that you may be experiencing, that others are experiencing. So do people that are experiencing, I'm thinking especially of non-Christian folks, people who are not believers, do they look at you? Or is your house in such a way that it's a shelter from the storm? How is that? Is it inviting to the homeless? Does it look inviting to the homeless, those who have no house, those that are sinners that need a house? Is it safe? Sometimes if we're in a storm, we run to a shelter and then we find out the shelter is not safe. Is your house, your spiritual house, safe? Does your spiritual house have a maintenance program? Does it have a program? Is it built on the rock? Houses, in the scripture, talks about the house that's built on a rock. It's firm. It'll stand. Storms, whatever, it'll stand. And finally, is it a lighthouse? Is it a warning to others that are looking and trying to find their way? My wife encourages me to not leave, to share a thought and not leave it unfinished. And I have a tendency to do that in my speaking. And one of the things I feel like I didn't finish, or you may wonder how this ties in with what I'm sharing, and that was when I mentioned Brother Ken and being on trial. Brother Ken is not here, so he can't represent himself. But the part of the inspiration of this message was as I thought of Ken and what him and his family are going through, and having to answer for something that was done so long ago, and how would I do? What am I doing today for things that I don't even understand? Maybe I'll have to answer one day for, in much the same way he is having to. And so what am I doing? And I thought about the trial, and I thought about some of those things. And I believe we would all agree that Ken's goal and his objective was right. What his goal and his objective was right. Now, if we would ask Ken, though, if you'd go back and do it over, would there be some things you'd do different? I believe probably he would say maybe there are some things, but he would still do what it takes to reach his goal and his objective. And so my encouragement for us today is in our lives, as this stone is a witness to us, to be aware of the fact that we have a Holy Spirit, a guide, that'll lead us in the guide may the Holy Spirit may lead us sometimes to do something that we will have to give an account for that the state, the government, or whatever won't approve of. Are we still willing to do what the Holy Spirit asks us to do? How does our house look? How does it look? Thank you for your attention, and I invite you to kneel with me in prayer. Thank you, God, for your goodness to us, and thank you that you have promised that you who have sent the Holy Spirit to each of us as believers, that you will never, ever leave us or forsake us. You've promised that through the Holy Spirit you'll guide us in all truth, and that you also are able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before you at that great day, the judgment day that we're all going to face one day. I thank you for the privilege of being here with the brothers and sisters in Ireland, and I pray that you would just continue to be with the church here as they are spiritual houses in this community. Others are looking to them, and we thank you for their testimony. And I just pray, Lord, you to help us as we go this week, as we face different situations, as we look at different opportunities that you've given us. Help us, Lord, that it would always be in line and in tune with your word and your spirit in our lives. Lead us and direct us this day. Help us to honor you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray, amen.